We are on to the third sign in John's Gospel, which is in chapter 5. So if you want to turn there, we can do that. And I'll just make sure that I've got my notes that are for the sermon rather than for a wedding service. Yeah, I have. Thank you. Thanks, servant. John chapter 5, yeah. Starting at chapter 1, which says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who you told you to pick up the mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So I want you to consider the scene. It's Jerusalem. Anyone been to Jerusalem? I know, I'd love to go. Oh, we should organise a church trip. Yeah? What are you doing next week? Should we go? Yeah? Actually, I'm busy. Sorry, I can't do it next week, but maybe the week off. And there's a gate on the way into the city. You know, it's a walled, it's an ancient city, obviously, so there's walls to protect. And then one of the gates on the way in, called the Sheep Gate. And then inside of that, there is a pool. And people gathered there. And it seems like it was the first, when an angel would stir the water. If you read the footnotes in the Bible there, there's a sort of an extra bit that's been added that later editions of the old ancient text that would say that an angel would come and stir the water, and then whoever got into the water first, they would be healed. And I don't know about you, but I think that just sounds a bit weird, don't you? Yeah? Have you ever considered this? You know, I mean, if somebody, I mean, I'm doing a weird thing this afternoon, but if someone said to you, you know, come down to, I don't know, the silent pool near Newlands Corner, you know that? And ever so often an angel comes and stirs the water, and jump in. If you're in first, you'll get healed. And, you know, what would you say? You'd probably think, this is a bit dodgy, a bit, you know, what is this? You know, sorry?
Pull the other one.
Yeah, pull the other one maybe, or whatever, you know? It's also a bit arbitrary, isn't it? You know, is this how God works? Does God do things like that? Does he just sort of, you know, just kind of get an angel to stick their finger in them and stir it up a bit, and, you know, and then, you know, then you jump in if you're lucky enough? Is that the way God works? Is that standard practice in Judaism back then? I don't know. Was it theologically sound? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think, and I mean, I believe that there are angels and all that, but is this really how God works? It sounds a bit like Lourdes to me, you know? I don't know if you've ever thought about it, you know, but this is kind of an ancient version of Lourdes where, you know, people go and these miracles happen, and you can't deny that they happen because they do happen. It's well documented. But how does it happen? What's going on here? Strange one. But you've got this pool and there's a great number of people there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they're lying around. Now again, my mind starts thinking, it's a nice sunny day and they're lying around and they're just sort of, you know, taking in a few rays and maybe having a chat. You know, I just imagine a scene around a swimming pool because, you know, that's my only frame of reference, really. And you've got sort of people just sort of stretched out. They've got their towel ready and they're, you know. But actually, if you think about it, this is like a place where there's a concentration of human suffering all in one place. You've got people who are afflicted, people who have had suffering, maybe some of them for many years, like this chap that we actually read about, 38 years. Maybe some of them have been there for decades, waiting. And I don't know, you know, it's a bit, you know, when you go into hospital and you're in a ward, and more often than not, people start sharing stories, don't they? So they're like, you know, what's your problem, or, you know, how long have you been in for, or, you know, have you seen the surgeon today, or whatever. I imagine that there's some stories going on here, you know. They, you know, what's up with you? You know, how come you can't walk? And they maybe they're asking the question, how did you get like this? And maybe even in the thinking of the time, what have you done to make you this way? You know, what sin have you committed? You know, I mean, Graham was very ill last year, and it's quite possible in this situation he might have been sitting here, I don't know, and somebody might have said to him, well, what have you done wrong? You know, because that's how people thought. You know, if you're ill, then it must be something you've done wrong, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that must be really nice. You know, just to confess your sins, or, well, actually, you know, whatever, or start to feel really guilty about it. So this is like a hospital ward of crippled people all waiting around this pool. And there's a really, what I would say is a thin hope, isn't there? That maybe one person at a time might get healed. I mean, Shari talked about that kind of certain hope that we have. Absolutely, it's not wishful thinking, but it's certain. But this is actually a bit of a thin hope. Because it's only if you can get your first into the water, when the water is stirred by the angel, that you will get healed. I don't even know whether it was guaranteed, but they seem to be quite certain about it. So I'm guessing that these people aren't here lying here comfortably, kind of like, you know, stretched out, reading a book and sort of chatting, listening to their iPod or whatever, you know, they're doing. But actually, they have fought and they've clambered their way to the front, elbowed their way in, you know, and said, I want to get near the front. I mean, I don't even know whether the angel just stirred a little bit over, you know, over here. And so the people near that side would have got in, you know, how did it work? I don't know how big this pool was. But they would have jostled to be closest to the water edge, wouldn't they? Because these are desperate people. They're desperate people. And so I imagine it's quite an ugly scene. So once the water's stirred, you know, let's say Keith can't walk and Graham's blind or something, but I see it first, you know, punch him out of the way, kick him out of the way, I'm getting in. I don't care what's wrong with you. I want to get healed. And it's only the first person in, so it's pretty ugly. You know, you imagine the blind people, they can't see, so they're listening. They're waiting, they're hearing water to be stirred. And so when they hear something, or maybe it's somebody just gone to the loo or something, and then they just run in, you know, and or maybe somebody who can't walk, they've got to get drag themselves in as quickly as possible. Somebody's completely paralyzed, they just hope somebody will push them and they'll roll in. I mean, it's humiliating. It's degrading, isn't it, to think about how this might happen when you consider it. We went to the para sports World Championships a couple of weeks ago, but this is like the perverse ancient disability games, you know. This is who can get in first? But it's sport in a kind of Roman sense, where it's pretty ugly and cruel and just humiliating. Do you imagine the indignity of people lying there? And I was even thinking, what happens if somebody gets in, so Keith gets in first, for instance, and I'm crippled, but I manage to get in after him, and he gets healed, but I don't. I'm wondering if anyone got drowned in the process, you know, because once somebody who can't walk or whatever, they get in the water, how do they get out, you know? I'm wondering whether people actually died in the process of trying to get healed because they drowned in this, and anyway. My mind going off. And then in this situation, you've got this man who we focus in on. And actually, he's got, like many of the others, he's got no realistic way of actually getting in. Because I'm guessing there's sort of varying degrees of disability here. And again, going back to the para games, we've got these different categories. You know, they put them into different categories. That wouldn't have happened here. It would have been like survival of the fittest. And we've got the sort of the the fittest or the weakest here. And so for many of them, they would never get in. I mean, I wonder when it says he's had this for 38 years, whether he'd been parked here for 38 years. Or whether, you know, this has gone on a long time. And so actually, when you think about it, this situation only serves to reinforce, particularly for this man, how sick and crippled he is. Because even though he's kind of that close, literally this close to being healed, he's so far from being healed because he can't get in. And so then Jesus comes and enters the scene, and the attention focuses on this man, this invalid who's been like this for 38 years. And unlike the previous sign, last week when we looked at when Jesus healed the official's son, do you remember the man came to Jesus, and then he said to Jesus, "Will you come?" And Jesus said, "You go." Jesus, in this situation, just comes completely uninvited. I mean, I don't even know whether this man had ever heard of Jesus or anything to do with him. And all of a sudden, he's just lying there on his mat, and this man just comes up to him. He may even not know his name. In fact, he didn't know his name, did he? Didn't know his name. And so Jesus just comes in completely uninvited. It's brilliant, isn't it? You can't pin Jesus down. He does it one week like this, and the next week he does it something else. And he knows that this man probably can't even remember what life was like without this condition, because 38 years is a long time. That's not much shorter than me being alive. You know, I mean, I can't remember last week, let alone. And so he says to him, "Do you want to get well?" Seems like a silly question, doesn't it? Do you want to be healed? No. Really? Obvious question. Maybe you'd expect an obvious answer. But it's a real challenge, actually. Do you want to be healed? Or would you prefer wallowing in your self-pity in the situation you're in? Because actually, when you ask that question of people, actually, some people quite enjoy that. Quite enjoy being in this situation where I'm feeling sort of sorry for myself. Or put it this way, Jesus may be asking him, do you actually want to be different? Do you want to leave the relative security of this environment you've known for so long and actually live in a different place, in a different way? Have you got really comfortable with your life, so comfortable that actually it's just almost too difficult to leave? And I wonder for us, when was the last time that Jesus challenged us and you allowed him to change something in you? Just a thought, you know, where you actually think, actually Jesus is inviting me to be different in this situation. When was the last time we allowed Jesus to heal us? Because we said, yeah, I want to be different in this. I want to be healed in this. Because a lot of us, and we're all human, this is how it works, we're very comfortable in the situation we're in. That's where we feel at home. And actually, even some of our sins, we feel more comfortable in those sins because that's just the way we know it. I'm quite scared stepping out of this. I don't know how I'm going to cope out beyond this. So actually, it's a challenge. It's a no-brainer of a question, but at the same time, it challenges us because actually, the question is, do you really want to be different? Do you really want to be healed? And so this man, he responds, but he responds within the limited restrictions, really, of the world he knows. And he says, actually, he doesn't really answer this question directly, but he says, I've got no one to push me in the water. I don't have anyone to help. Someone else always gets in first when the water gets stirred. So he's almost sort of saying, I'd like to, but I can't. I wonder if he's probably actually asking Jesus, will you help me? In a way. Because he, in his mind, the only way of getting healing is to get in that water. So he says to Jesus, well, I don't have anyone to help me in. Would you help me in? Would you just stay here until the angel comes again and the water's stirred and then just give me a really good shove and then you can go. I don't need anything else, but just shove me in and I'll be fine. Because he doesn't have any other perspective. His thin hope in this water being stirred and he might get in, his thin hope is relying now on somebody else pushing him in the water. And because God only works to him, he has this mindset where God only works. I mean, his life, I'm guessing if he has been just in this place for all this time, this is all he knows. That God only works in this very small space, in that water from time to time. So That's all he knows how to respond to the question that is asked. Because his view of God's grace is very, very limited, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? Because all he's seen is God working in this pool. It's a very limited view of God. And just as you carry on, and the Jews have got a very limited view of the Sabbath, haven't they? There's like, I heard some of you laugh when we read it because it is comical. Why are you carrying your mat? It's a Sunday kind of thing. And well, the man told me to carry my mat. And they had this very limited idea of what the Sabbath was about. And so this is all about really bursting open their horizons of possibility, really. Because when we meet God in person, we realize he's well with our soul. And it doesn't matter where we are, where the horizon just opens up. Anything's possible. And so Jesus bursts this bubble of this small hope and this thin, narrow hope that he has. And he says to him, in response to the man's reply, he says, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And remember last week how Jesus spoke, and the water and the wine, and also particularly last week when he just said to the man, go, your son is well. Well, again, he just speaks, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. He doesn't pray a prayer. He doesn't say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He just speaks it, and it happens. And these words command this man's disability to go. They speak correction to his body. They speak correction to his mindset, because his mindset was, well, if only I get in the water, then everything will be all right. But he's actually just, I've met somebody who can just speak life back into my body. And so for us here today, I'm wondering, how many of us just need to hear that voice of Jesus? Just say, get up. Get out from where you are. Don't be limited by your narrow view on how the world works, how God works. But actually just hear this voice. Get up. Walk into a greater life. Take up that mat you are lying on. Go and take it on the road. Use it as a tool, as a prop to tell a story. But don't be lying on it anymore. And so the man, he heeded Jesus' words, didn't he? He got up and he walked and he carried it off into a new life. A new life which was actually a bit problematic because the Jews, they were scratching their heads at what's going on. They couldn't get their head around it. But actually the whole thing is Jesus is bigger than our perspective, bigger than our imagination, bigger than what we can see or conceive. And we might think it's like this, or God does things like this, or you know, church is like this, or I pray and it happens like this, but actually Jesus is always breaking in and sort of saying, and he's coming in completely uninvited and saying, actually there's more to this. You know, some of us have been Christian a long time, haven't we? You know, I mean, I've been Christian, I think we said last week, 30 years. You know, that's nearly all my life, really. Some of you, you know, let's not even get into it, you know. Yeah, okay. But wherever we're at, Jesus comes along uninvited and he says, there's more to it. You know, you may have read the book every year since, I mean, if you've been very dedicated, you've read it through every year or however, whatever your reading plan is, but there's more to it. There's more to who I am, the more to what I can do. Don't narrow me down. And so Jesus, he finds this man. Again, it's incredible, isn't it? He sought him out in the first place. I mean, how do we imagine a God who even does this? We all just think, oh, we're just little old me. God doesn't want to bother me. Here's a completely anonymous man who he went to once, and then after disappearing, he comes and finds him again in the temple. It's like, wow, this guy was really getting it here. He's getting an increasing revelation of Jesus, and I think we need to remember actually that Jesus does this to us as well. You know, you may think, oh, well, I became a Christian in 18, whenever it was, or whatever, and that I met with Jesus then. But actually, Jesus will come to us from time to time through our walk at different times. And you may think, I'm just getting a bit old now, or you know, a bit tired. But actually, there will be times when Jesus will come and he will show himself to us again afresh. And I know that for myself, and I'm sure we'll have testimonies. Maybe we'll have some songs to go with it. I don't know. Time goes by. So he comes to this man. And he says to him, see, look, you're well. Meaning, look, you had a narrow expectation on your life and you thought it was all about that pool and just sitting there and 38 years and all that kind of thing. But look, your mind now is blown open, isn't it? look at yourself. You are well. You're walking. You're carrying that mat. It's almost impossible to conceive. So Jesus is actually sort of saying to him, look what's happened. You know, before you start to doubt yourself, check this out. Look at it. And then he says, and this is an interesting one. He says, stop sinning or something else worse may happen to you. That's a stark warning, isn't it? That's a stark warning. And on one level, it is a warning. Don't sin anymore because something worse than this might happen to you. Now, again, here we can't use this just as a one thing on doctrine because I can't remember who's preaching on it, but in John chapter 9, there's a man who's born blind and they say to him, who sinned? Was it your father or your mother or you that caused this blindness? And Jesus says, none of them. So the sin isn't related to the sickness in that one. But in this one, he's kind of implying that some sicknesses can be caused by sin. Some. Not all. So on the one level, it's a stark warning. But on the other level, if you turn it round, actually, this is an invitation to this man into a new way of life. Because whatever he was doing before, Jesus is saying, leave it behind. There's a much better way of life ahead of you. I've already blown your mind on what the possibilities are with life with me, because it's more than just that narrow hope that you had of the pool. I'm now blowing open a whole new horizon. Leave it behind. Leave the old life behind and step into the new possibilities of life with me. Stop sinning and walk on into a new way of life. A bigger way of life. A greater way of life. Full of hope. And so this morning, just to finish off, to those who are downhearted, to those who are downtrodden, to those who are sick, to those of us who have just been stuck in something for a long time, Jesus says to us all, do you want to be different? Now, you may think, yeah, of course I do. But actually, just stop and think to yourself, do I really want to leave that behind? Do you really want to be transformed? Do you really want to be healed? And let's just take a moment to call out to God and say, if the answer is yes, then let's make that known to him. Because in all of our lives, and in different ways, Jesus wants to break in and show himself again to us afresh and show us that actually, whilst we may have a reasonable understanding of him or maybe even a small understanding of him or even a reasonably good understanding of him, there is more he wants to show us of himself. So that he would say, see, look. It's almost like he enjoys doing that. See, look, you're healed now. You thought you couldn't be this, or you thought you couldn't be that, or you thought this couldn't change, but actually I've asked you, do you want it to change? And he would now say, see, look, there's something different, there's something greater, there's something bigger. So let's just take a moment and just see if Holy Spirit would just point out if any of those things to us, and then we'll close in a prayer. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Lord, in our lives, fill everything and every way in us. Come into our lives. Ask us the challenging questions. And give us the confidence and the boldness to leave the old behind and step into the new so that you may say to us, see, look, things are different now. Our hope is built in nothing else. Thank you, Lord. Amen.